Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And another thing that I'm hearing from people all over the country is they want a candidate tough enough to take on Donald Trump. And I'm a New Yorker. I know Trump. I know his tricks. I know his strategies. I know how to go at him. You know, I came out of the gate and I gave him a new nickname, Condon. That immediately got under his skin. He countered with a tweet. He countered with a video. I countered with another video going back and forth. You can tell that this guy is a bully who needs to be confronted. And as a New Yorker, I know how to do that. And I'll tell you, a lot of people I've talked to in Iowa and South Carolina, they get that point. They want someone tough enough to go toe-to-toe with this guy. And who better than a fellow New Yorker running the biggest, toughest city in the country?
Mayor de Blasio speaking there. And you know what I hear when I hear him talking about that? My dear, sweet six-year-old first grader. So, Mom, today when we went out to recess, I was playing hide and seek, but then Sally didn't want to play with me because she wanted me to be it first. So I said to her, no, you need to be it first. And then I told Sally that if she wasn't going to be it first, then I wasn't going to play tag with her. So I told her, you're going to be it first. And if you're going to be it first, then I will play. So then Sally was it first. So then I countered her and Sally was it first. And then I played tag.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Sums it up.
Nobody cares. I mean, he's trying to kind of like big cojones the president here. The president is like outrunning the free world right now. The president is not thinking about Mayor de Blasio. I saw a headline. Is this clickbait? Is this fake news? I need my news department.
You need resources.
To research this. Did Trump Jr. say that he was going to run for mayor in New York City? Can you Google that? Because I don't know. Maybe he just said that in an interview and was like, maybe I'll challenge de Blasio. I don't know. But it just came to my head. Because, boy, would that be something.
Oh, my gosh. De Blasio's worst nightmare.
So, he's so not as important and lauded after as he thinks he is.
But then he goes on Morning Joe, and they prop him up like he is.
Sure.
Like, yeah, you got him, Condon.
And this, the most offensive thing, like, I don't know why he doesn't understand this, but the most offensive thing about what he says there is he's like, the reason why I should be the nominee to take on Donald Trump is because I'm from New York, not any of those other pansy 49 other states. I'm a New Yorker. You know what? I can't tell you. That is exactly what us folks in the Midwest want to hear when we want an alternative.
Totally.
To the brash nature of Donald Trump. I mean, stop. Seriously, stop. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing me, and I don't even like you. It's bizarre. Do you have any news yet on that? Did I make
that
up?
There's a couple. No, you didn't make it up. There's a couple of reports, but I can't find anything where he said.
Okay. So I did see it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of Daily Wire has a story. Page Six has a story.
Okay. I trust both of those sources if they corroborate. Did you guys wake up in the storms last night?
I didn't.
Okay, well, you can have one of my children next time, Tony.
I was up when the storm. I'm not going to lie.
My power went out.
I was as well. And I actually thought about last night texting Tony just to see if he was awake, but I didn't have anything to say, so it's like, that's just weird.
Never mind.
It did wake
up
Maggie.
Up? I'm up.
It woke up Maggie. She was terrified. She laid with me.
What does that look like when Maggie, who's eight comes, what, you're laying in bed, and you see the lightning, and as a parent, when it's storming at night, there you can tell by the lightning what's about to go down. Because you see the lightning first, then you hear the thunder.
And like, ooh.
So you hear one, and you know, it takes a few thunder rolls that are not huge. Like, I don't know that there are any like major claps, at least not claps of thunder last night.
There was a little bit of thunder. No huge.
It was
ones.
A steady
no big,
spring
ones.
Thunderstorm, it sounded like.
Yeah.
But if they happen enough.
I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Oh, it helps me
sleep.
And I
think if you both didn't have kids who were wandering in being like, Mom, Dad, I'm scared, you'd probably fall asleep and it'd be
the best way to fall asleep. So,
amen.
What does that look like in the Columbo household when the frightened 8-year-old shows up, makes her presence known?
Crazy hair. Tears. Blankie in one
tears,
hand.
Is it tears like she's just... frightened tears, or is it like hysterical tears?
No, just like frightened. Blankie in one hand, Rusty in the other hand. Rusty's a stuffed horse. And Dad, I'm scared. Come on, get in bed. All right.
Oh, do you bat 1,000 on saying get in bed?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't bother me one bit.
I sent mine back to bed.
Get out.
But it was my 9-year-old son. And like last night.
We have a king size bed. There's room for everybody. Come on in.
Is that like a general
clip
offer?
It. Yeah.
Come clip on it. In.
Here, you know. I'll say it again. We have a king size bed. There's room for everybody. Come on in. Clip it.
So.
And I get stuff for the things I say.
Because
you're funny because you don't know what you're saying.
Yeah,
well,
I say it on purpose.
My 9-year-old son comes in, and at nine, I feel like I have to tell him, this storm isn't going to kill you. Go back to bed.
I said that almost exact same thing to Hurley yesterday. I said, has the rain ever hurt you? Nope.
I said, Charlie, go back to bed. He's like, well, I'm having trouble sleeping. I said, just close your eyes and turn the radio up louder. And he's like, well, can I lay with you? And I was like, nope, not tonight. Because if he comes in there and then my daughter, who they sleep in bunk beds now just because they like their buddies now.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. When we got pregnant
There's
with our third child,
bunk beds.
We got a house that had more bedrooms. And now all the kids will sleep in the same room. So,
whatever.
I bought bunk beds on Swap and Sell on Facebook.
Yeah.
But if it's like a massive storm and it like the weather radio is going off and stuff, I will let them come in and be with me because I understand it's scared. But it was a slow roll. Mm-hmm. Like these kids need to get a little tougher.
Were either one of you afraid
of
storms? It was
not a scary storm.
Were there? No. I wasn't afraid either.
I wasn't afraid. No, I was never afraid.
I've always thought they were so peaceful.
Yeah.
I was afraid of a lot of things, but not
so
storms.
I was afraid of storms that I would still be afraid of today. So like the big ones where the wind and it's hailing, like you think, oh, it could be a tornado. What else were you scared of?
The dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I was so afraid of the dark.
Do you have, like, do your parents have a basement that is scary? Or like is the garage?
I mean, it shouldn't have been scary, but I thought it was scary.
But if you go there as an adult?
It wasn't like an old, creepy, dirty basement. It was
normal.
But
ours
I was
unfinished. We had an unfinished basement, and I lived down there with my sister because I was so afraid of the dark. My parents were like, all right, enough is enough. You've got to go downstairs with your sister, and that's going to be your room. So it was great. Well, all worked out for me.
In full disclosure here, we start the show, and my computer is crapping out on me.
Let's talk about our greatest fears.
So I don't have like access to all the stuff that we've worked on. I do. I just am trying to do it while we're talking here. I was watching some of the Pennsylvania rally last night and listening to the president talking. He said some things last night about immigration. He said, our country's full. We don't want any more people. And then he repeated it like 3 or 4 times. Has he been saying that? Has he been out there saying our country is full?
I think that's a new line.
It's a pretty bold line.
Yeah. I think he's added it to the repartee, though, so I think you're going to hear it a lot.
I said to my husband, I go,
Unless it doesn't get good reaction, maybe he'll drop it.
I'm just restarting this computer again.
Okay. I'll turn it down.
Yeah.
That didn't work last time.
I restarted it so that it would work before the show.
I know. And,
now we're talking about how scared my child is of storms. Play that clip on cut 8 and listen to how he goes after Joe Biden here.
A beautiful state, a tough state. The people are tough and they're strong and they're smart. I know them well. I know them well.
Strong and,
and don't forget, Biden deserted you. He's not from Pennsylvania. I guess he was born here, but he left you, folks. He left you for another state. Remember that, please. I meant to say that. This guy talks about, oh, I know Scranton. I know that. Well, I know the place is better. He left you for another state, and he didn't take care of you because he didn't take care of your jobs. He let other countries come in and rip off America. That doesn't happen anymore because we're going to make America wealthy again. We're going to make America strong again. We're going to make America safe again, and we will make America great again. Thank you.
Calling out Joe Biden for not being loyal to a state. Joe Biden is real, like, aw shucks about Pennsylvania.
That sounded like the beginning of a, that like was sounded like the setup to a song in a musical.
Like
he's like,
a production.
You're beautiful, you're strong, and you're smart. And Joe just left on a lark. And then all of a sudden the music starts and he starts going into it.
And then by the end there's
behind
fountains
and was fireworks. Left nothing but mobs, but I have come and I've brought the jobs. It's like, yeah, and then there the music starts and
da-da-da.
All the people start dancing.
Could you rhyme like that before you had kids? Because I'm a rhymer. I will like
yeah, I'm
be
a
telling
huge
my kids to do
Dr. Seuss guy.
Yeah.
So,
but did you would you like ever even consider doing that before you had? I mean, I do it with my kids.
Yeah, I turn everything into rhymes and songs at home. I have a we have a
and
lot of we have a lot of songs that we sing.
Mm-hmm. We have a song about peach yogurt and blackberry jelly.
What is it?
We have songs about like taking
blackberry
showers
jelly,
and brushing
blackberry
our teeth.
Jelly.
Yeah, let's go.
But what does it do? It's just like, yeah, it's just a funny song.
It's just what Charlie used to sing when we'd put blackberry jelly on his toast.
Love it.
When he was three, I'll have to dig out the video of him. Or blackberry yogurt, I don't know what it was.
We sing.
But he used to kind of do like a little shimmy to the right and a shimmy to the left, and it was adorable.
We sing, Maggie has to take her clothes off to take a shower right now.
Everything's a song
Does
for the
kids. Does that make Maggie get her move on?
She loves it.
Are your kids like slow?
And then we
slow
do brush them by your teeth. If you gotta brush them, then you brush your teeth.
Hey! Yeah. Do you do this type of stuff for David at home?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on, David. It's time.
To brush your teeth.
Let's get in our routine. Let's brush them together.
Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, in theory, my computer will work and I will be more professional about the next
gotta
segment.
Gotta get your hair. And body wet. Get your body wet. Get your body wet. Get your
Lots
hair.
Lots of these are about hygiene.
And body wet. Oh, yeah. It's all
God,
about.
Yep. Well, that's what you got to do to like
baths and showers
get stuff
and
done. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
They don't move at it. They, sloths, since I've discovered that sloths are actually still around and not extinct, every time I see one, it makes me really happy for all the sloths that are still not extinct.
Thank you for the sloths.
The dumbest thing in any history.
Hope that computer's working.
Seriously, I thought sloths were extinct, and then one day I saw a sloth that was like clinging to a light pole in some city street, and I'm like, that looks really
what the heck?
Really accurate and the lifelike. And I Google it, and I'm like,
they're not sloths aren't dead.
Oh, Oprah Winfrey's got a lot of money, and you heard about the CEO that...
Oh, this is so stupid.
It's the stupidest thing ever, but I love it. And I'm going to tell you, somebody's demanding something of Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah Winfrey...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doesn't have things demanded of her. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Stick. We're making it through. Oprah Winfrey. You may have heard of her. She has a lot of money. She's a billionaire. We heard this story yesterday of, what was this, the college?
Morehouse,
that's right. He goes up, the billionaire goes up there. Mm-hmm. And is he giving the commencement speech?
Yep.
And at the
he's
end
the
of the
keynote speaker, yep.
And at the end of his speech, he tells everyone he's paying off all of their student loans.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. Like, that's the type of thing that every time you think about it, probably for the rest of your life, you go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when something like that happens to you, it's like winning the lottery. You take student loans out. I don't know. Morehouse is it an all black school or just a predominantly black?
Historically,
historically black school. So I don't know. Like if it's, I assume it's private, and you probably get out of there with, depending on how long you're there and whatever, but you tens of thousands of dollars that you're going to owe over the course of 10 years. You can refinance that sometimes into longer. You can go on an income based repayment plan. It's just you. I bet a lot of those guys don't even know. A lot of those students don't necessarily even know what that payment is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because my husband went back to school after getting his TV radio communications degree, like I did in 2006. He went back to school to be a teacher because, as you may be able to figure out yourself, when you go back and you look at graduating college in 2006 and then the economy bottoms out in 2008, not a great time to be graduating school and finding a job. Not a lot of employment opportunities out there for folks like us. So he went back to school. I was working in sports talk radio, and I've told this story before. I started as an intern. I was Frank Cusmano's intern for a summer. That was my internship at school, and then I graduated at the end of summer. And then the radio station I worked for was like, hey, we know your internship's over, but if you're interested, we'd really love to have you come back if you want to work for free.
Yeah, sign me up.
So I did it, and I worked from August through mid-October for free in Webster Groves. I lived in Hamel, Illinois at the time, which is exit 30 on 55 going to Chicago, which is usually where people pass Hamel. If you know it, you've seen, if you've either lived in Hamel and have relatives there, or you've maybe seen the sign. But there's not much in between there. It's just like Alhambra and Warden, Prairie Town, Morrow, all these places. So we had no money. No money. I mean, literally, I think our mortgage at the time, because we bought a house when we got married in 2007, and we bought it from an estate, and the woman who had lived in there previous to that apparently was a cat lady. And we were told when we moved in that she had over 50 cats in this house.
Wow.
At one time.
Mm. Oof.
And it was obvious.
Mm.
But we got the house for really, really cheap, and it took us 3 months to make it livable. So we had zero money. I think our mortgage was like, with taxes and insurance, was like 550 or maybe 600 bucks. And that was my whole paycheck. And we got paid twice a month, not every other week. So one paycheck went to that. And the other paycheck we had to make pay all of the rest of the bills and food. Like my husband and I have looked at each other probably within the last month and said, how did we survive that? Like I don't know. How, because he didn't have an income. He was trying to get a job, and then he decided to go back to school. So instead of having income, we were taking out loans. He went back to school. He's now a wonderful teacher and has a great job. And, you know, it was the right path for him to go in. But he took out student loans because we didn't have any money getting out of college, getting married, buying a house for half the probably value of it if it would have been move-in ready. And when he was taking out loans, we did not know. We didn't know what we were doing. And whose fault is that? Here's the difference, folks. It's not your fault. It's not Tony's fault. It's not Katie's fault. It's not your fault in the car that my husband and I didn't understand the money we were taking out. Tony, you've talked about that too. Like when mm-hmm. you guys were going back to school, there was like, you can have this much money. So you're like, well, let's get that much money.
Yep.
So we repay his loans now, and we're, you know, living for the day where those are paid off. But when it came time to pay them back, we had no idea what the amount was going to be. It hadn't even occurred to us yet. Not to mention the fact, in that time frame, the economy was not doing well. So if you got a job, it didn't pay very much to begin with. My first job at 97.1, I took it at the very, I think I got hired in January of 2009, and in February was my first day. I was there for 6 weeks, and then they had a massive layoff, and everybody took a 6% pay cut. And the 6% pay cut that we all took probably saved a significant amount of jobs that they didn't have to let people go because top to bottom in the company, everybody was having to tighten their belt. That's the way things were at that time. But you get these student loans. So you're sitting in this graduation ceremony and then the commencement speaker says, hey, I'm going to pay off all your student loans. It's like $40 million is what they had calculated it roughly, but they didn't have a final number. That is blow your mind stuff.
If I was a parent, I would be crying with excitement.
Yeah. How many parents sitting in that commencement speech had their name signed on the same paper?
Right. Ugh.
So this, do you have the story? That Oprah story?
Yep.
I'll let you tell it with the detail because it was an Instagram post, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Somebody Instagrammed Oprah basically calling her out for not paying for the student debts like this Robert Smith did when she has in the past been the commencement speaker at Morehouse. And she immediately fired back and reminded everyone that she has put more than 400 people through Morehouse College and has donated to many places.
So Oprah is saying that it's not really up to someone else how to spend her billion dollars.
Right.
But you know what? I saw like Trevor Noah on The Daily Show making jokes, but this is the sentiment, and I knew this was going to be 30 seconds behind the, oh, wow, this is what a great moment, what a great thing. I knew it would be 30 seconds later that it would be, but what about, and he was, you know, and we've seen jokes and heard different things, like, oh, really stinks to be the class of 2018 because you didn't get anything. What about the
guy? No good deed.
What about the guy who was supposed to graduate in 2019 but put his nose to the grindstone and graduated a year early? Now he doesn't get anything.
Tim, thanks for calling the show. Yeah. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same order there. What about the kids that were very diligent, very thrifty? They worked while they were in school. They did everything to keep their student loans down to near nothing, or maybe even went the JUCO route, anything to save a buck. And now, guess what? Everybody else just got their stuff paid for, and they all come out of school in the same shape, and they got nothing out of it except knowing that they were thrifty and paid for it themselves.
Yeah, you know, Tim, the only thing that I'll say to counter that concern of yours is that this is somebody's money, and they decided to do this with their own money. This is not a decision that was made to spend somebody else's money to help these individuals. If you've got billions of dollars and you can drop $40 million to change people's lives, kind of up to you, in my opinion, how you choose to do that. But what you're saying, Tim, and what Tony was talking about is what's going to end up happening if we have education for all. If these folks get their way, where everybody gets their education paid for, first of all, you diminish the value of the education that you're getting, mm-hmm. and second of all, it's never going to be put out there fairly.
And now, any mega rich celebrity that gets asked to do a commencement speech is going to be expected by some.
Yes, yes.
Not by everyone, but expected by some to pay for, like, that's going to be a thing now. Like, people are
going to
say,
no one's going to be the keynote speaker anymore.
You know, Tiger Woods was a commencement speaker, whatever, and he's a billionaire, but he didn't pay for everybody's student debt.
Yeah.
That's coming.
Guess what?
I still hug dudes.
We're back.
Nice.
Got my sound back.
Back up and running.
I look at the audacity of somebody to go on Instagram and say, all right, Oprah, your turn. Like, if you want to, Ellen too. And I know that Ellen, politically, Ellen is not going to tune into the Annie Fry Show for a myriad of reasons. But even if she could, she wouldn't. And I understand that and I respect that. Ellen does so much good with her platform, but it's her platform.
Mm-hmm.
She has built this. She has lots of money. She has a lot of people who want to be associated with her. You know, like I was watching Shutterfly, John Mayer, one of my favorite artist, if not my favorite artist, was on, and they do this segment called Burning Questions. And for every question he answers, she says Shutterfly will donate $500 to this charity that John Mayer runs that helps veterans. And she's just doing segments, giving away money to people.
She's always done that.
But you That's know what? Amazing. I am not going to go to Ellen and dictate to her where she should put her money or the money she has access to or the affiliations that she has, because it's not my business. It's her money. Now, if I'm ever as successful or like 1/1,000,000th of a successful as Ellen or Oprah Winfrey, and I want to go help specific people, that'll be my decision. Those are all entirely different conversations than what a lot of these Democratic candidates want to do with your money. You're not a billionaire. Maybe you are. If you are, give us a call. But you're out there right now. You're on your lunch break. You're going back to work. You're trying to make an honest living. And what Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and these other people who are running for president, look at their worth. Is their worth significantly more than your worth? And you know what they're saying? They're saying the money needs to come out of your paycheck to pay for things like other people's college, to pay for things like other people's health care, to pay for things like other people's, you know, access to basic things that we are supposed to go and provide for ourselves. And the competition that exists when it's not government provided makes those products, those services better. They want to remove all that because they think they're doing you a favor by giving you something that they had to take from someone else in order to give you. And then they look like the good guy. It's ridiculous. I was so glad to see Oprah Winfrey check that person, especially because Oprah Winfrey at one point was like the front runner if Oprah would get in the race.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was going into 2018 because she was going around and campaigning for Stacey Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, if Oprah gets in the race, she could beat Donald Trump. And Oprah, Donald Trump, I mean, that would be the most fun 2020 thing to watch, because those two are massive presences.
No, mm-hmm. No way Oprah ever runs for president.
It would be so silly. She can do so much.
Yes.
And she could do so much right where she is right now. And she's
it's not if
beholden
you're her,
to no
why
one.
Put yourself through the scrutiny?
Yeah.
Not worth it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the highlights, which we didn't get to in this segment, because now I have the buttons back.
So buttons are back.
The buttons are back. So we will do that as soon as we come back, get to the latest highlights of the day. Is there something? There's a couple things going on tonight. I'm going to be going to Plaza Frontenac and the Frontenac Hilton, I guess is the correct way to say it, with Retirement Advisory Group and Thomas Helbig. And if you want to come out and see me tonight, I'm going to be there at about 6 o'clock, 6, I think I'll be there at 6, between 6 and 6:10 before Thomas Helbig takes over. Dave Glover is going to be there with us. Mark Cox is going to be there with us. I would love to see you, and I'm going to tell you here in just a minute on what you need to do to make sure you reserve your seat. It's not going to take up your whole evening. You'll have plenty of time for all any other activities you want to participate in, but this is a no-brainer. It's a free event. There's food. There's drinks. There's Mark Cox. There's Dave Glover. They let me come, I think. Hopefully they let me in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Stay tuned.
We have to move forward.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is still talking. She tweeted something last night about that same college tuition situation. She said it's important to note that people shouldn't be in a situation where they depend on a stranger's enormous act of charity for this kind of liberation to begin with, a.k.a. college should be affordable. But it is an incredible act of community investment in the system as it is. Is it like raising my taxes in an enormous fashion, still counting on a stranger's enormous act of charity? Forced charity? I don't know. Dave Glover's in here with us. This is fun.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh my God, if someone would have paid off my student loans.
I would.
Oh.
I mean, I can't think of something that would be more of, at that point in your life,
life-changing.
The biggest thing that would ever have happened to you.
Yeah.
Forget the diploma. I don't have tens of thousands of debt.
That was amazing.
And Katie made a good point. All the parents sitting out there, how many of those parents signed those papers too?
Hell yeah.
Totally. It's just... And then did you see that there was somebody who went on Instagram and told Oprah?
Yes.
Your turn?
Yes.
And Oprah was like, it's been my turn and I've answered the call and you can go back to your hole. I love that.
I was hoping she got crushed. I don't like Ofri.
What?
Yeah. She and I have a history. We dated.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to hear about it after the show.
So
she's mean to Dave Glover, then I don't know if I like her either.
Dave is going to be at the Front Neck Hilton tonight with Mark Cox and myself and Thomas Helbig for this retirement advisory group, little Protecting Your Retirement educational event. Have you done one of these before?
No, but as I understand it, I'm actually the one giving the financial advice.
Yeah.
So this should be good.
It's the comedy show.
I'm going to start with don't pay your student loans for about 15 years.
Because somebody might show up and pay them off for you.
Yes.
And then you've wasted all that money.
Yes.
Why would you want to do that?
Right.
It's not worth the risk. Thomas Helbig is calling Julia right now going,
oh gosh.
Make him shut up.
There's been some confusion. So there's limited seating and there are still some seats available. And the thing that I love about this, Dave and I were just talking about it. We get there at about 6 o'clock and for 30 minutes or so, we get to walk around and meet you and talk to you and just get to know you. And then we turn it over to Thomas Helbig and he's so respectful of your time. It's like 45 minutes and you're done and you're out of there. It's free. He provides food. It's delicious food. It's the Front Neck Hilton and drinks. And you sit there and you just listen and he gives you a copy of his free book. And we get to see you. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, true story. So Close was doing lives for Thomas. And then when Close betrayed us, then I took over. And so I met with Thomas. And literally, I am now moving the biggest financial asset I have over to him.
Yeah.
He in 20 minutes. He convinced me.
So you're in your mid-50s?
Yep.
So, you know, if you're 55 or older... Like,
but I look 30.
That's what
I... So I may not be able to take advantage of the laws.
No. I'm always like, I'm not in this phase of life here, but I really want to be
right.
Sitting in a room someday where, like, I need to protect all this money that I've saved for myself.
Yes.
But, you know, if you're 55 and older and you've been working really hard to save your money... And then you think about 2008. I mean, you were in a position. I was not in a position. I was working for free and my free extended internship in sports talk radio at that time. But it's kind of frightening. I mean, at your age, to think I've worked this hard and I've saved this much. And then a 2008 happens.
Yeah.
And you're not protected.
I did not have as much in 2008 as I do now, but I was sitting in a Jiffy Lube when all this melted down, and I'll never forget, a guy in a really, really nice car, obviously a rich guy, was on the phone with his broker, and he had lost 40%. And like, he was just a ghost. And just watching him, like, oh my God. Like, you could tell this guy had lost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So if it's not a 2008, if it's half that bad,
yeah,
that's still really, really bad when you're 55 or older, and you're thinking, maybe you planned your whole life to retire at 60, and then you get Social Security when you get Social Security, but you got to know that it's safe. And Thomas Helbig is really good.
You know what really impressed me? Because I said, okay, Thomas, how many people can we get there? And he said, about 50. I said, and how many people do you convert into, you know, booking an appointment? Expecting him to say, like, oh, about 5. He said, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone.
Because they sit and listen to him, and they're like, I got to do this.
Yeah.
You can't not.
Yeah.
So it's at the Front Neck Hilton tonight at 6:30. Dave, Mark, Cox, not Mark Close, and I will be there at around 6 o'clock, and we'll meet all of you. Now, you can reserve your space by calling 855-755-1555. It's 855-755-1555, or online at retirementkey.com, and also there are refreshment and snacks. That's at the bottom of my list of things to say. It's like how you get...
There will be cake and pie.
Children and college students and apparently pre-retirees.
You know where else there will be refreshments and snacks?
Where?
DGS 5 on Thursday night.
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're going, right?
I'm for sure going. I'm so pumped.
I'm hoping to go. So I haven't been able to work out the child care situation yet, but I've been to him before. And Tony Colombo has a daughter who's participating in DGS 5.
She's in the Dave Glover band
now. That's a questionable parenting decision.
Yeah. not even questionable.
It's pretty clear.
Yep.
What is DGS Live for the people who don't?
Yeah, so DGS Live, it's at the Sheldon, the gorgeous, beautiful, acoustically perfect Sheldon, which I'm going to wreck. And I'll do about a half hour of stand up, which is mostly Trump based, very political, a little bit dirty. And then the band will come out. We'll do about 7 Beatles songs acoustic, featuring Jimmy Griffin and Grace Colombo on violin. Mm-hmm. And then we
take very good things about it.
She's impressive. And they would take a little break, come back, and then the whole crew, everyone on the show comes out, and we just jackass around for another hour. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Tony, how many of these have you participated in?
Everyone.
Any advice?
To Dave?
No. To the people who would be attending.
I say it every day. It's the most fun thing that we do as a show. And I can't. And
it's a riot.
Yeah. If you are a fan of Dave's show, this radio station, you got to come see one.
Tickets are still available.
It's only 50 tickets.
You need to get on it and get done. So first call 855-755-1555 or 1550. Yeah. And come see us tonight. But then Thursday at the Sheldon, get your tickets because they're going to sell out and you are going to miss out. And
I've never been to the Sheldon before, so I'm super excited about that too.
It's so cool.
Is it?
It's so
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'll say too, being around the station for over 10 years, if you miss this event, you'll never see another one like it.
Uh-uh.
They will have more events.
Yeah, they're all different.
But it won't be like this one. I know you came to the Wildy, my hometown, Edwardsville, and that was a fun, fantastic event and people raved and raved about it. And what was the other one we did down?
The Grandel.
The Grandel.
Yeah, so, DGS4.
Yeah. And I mean, they're all different, but they're all fun. You will hurt. Your belly will hurt from laughing. Yes.
I just love hearing what people have to say after they see your stand-up, Dave, because you're just so you on this radio station, but it's almost like Dave Glover unleashed, like out in the wild, able to say whatever he wants to say. And it's so fantastic.
Well,
it's a hard R.
Soft X.
Maybe NC-17.
971talk.com for extra tickets. The 50 that are there. I would love it if you haven't participated yet in getting your tickets. Sell them out before Dave's show starts here at 3 o'clock so that he can come on the show at 3 p.m. and say that the Annie Fry Show sold them out.
That would be awesome.
So it's at the Sheldon. Thursday starts at 7? Is that right?
7:30.
7:30.
Yep.
You're not. Katie's going to be there. If anybody wants to babysit my kids,
come
you
on
can
over.
Call the hotline and I'll just give you my children. And then I'll go to DGS Live, which is an equally good parenting decision. No, Dave. No, I cannot do that.
Everyone bring your kids.
I'm going to tell you what. When I'm in my car with my kids and your show is on, I often hear, that's a bad word. And we still listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.